Welcome to the Supplement Engineer Podcast. My name is Robert Chinetsky. Joining us, longtime industry veteran, renowned formulator, and the chief science officer at NNB Nutrition, Mr. Sean Wells. Sean, thank you for making time today to join us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm excited to be up early this morning and talking with you, Robert.
Excellent. What do you have in that coffee mug there? I know you are typically a low stim guy. So is that coffee or is that some other concoction you got brewed up?
It is decaf coffee with collagen and C8 MCTs.
Excellent. Do you have a preferred decaf coffee? I'm a dark roast guy, but do you have a preferred brand or a roast that you go to?
We use Maui Roasters actually out of Maui, Hawaii. So it's a really, really good flavorful kind of macadamia-ish flavored coffee that we like.
Outstanding. You've been in the industry for quite a while, and anytime I have a first-time guest on here, I would like to get their origin story. So I know you've had a somewhat, what we'll put interesting is the way to describe kind of like your genesis and like your I've listened to you on several other podcasts, and your background and story is fascinating. So kind of walk the listeners who may not be familiar with your background, how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I started out, you know, bullied and having a difficult childhood, and I was very overweight, eating all the junk foods and all the things and watching cartoons and not really feeling like I fit in. I feel like a lot of people out there might identify with that. And we use junk food and cartoons or TV or video games or whatever to hide, you know, because our feelings are hurt and we're emotional and we're trying to push all that down and find something that we can hide in. And over the years, I ended up doing pretty well in school and getting into a really good business specialty school, Babson. And I started working out about halfway through my time at Babson and seeing pretty tremendous results. Creatine had just come out. EAS was exploding. I was reading Muscle Media 2000. I was using whey protein, creatine, and AKG and a bunch of things that were out at the time, and just seeing tremendous results. I was just, you know, going up through like the dumbbells just every time I went to the gym. It's, you know, that's an amazing feeling. And for someone that really felt ashamed about their body most of their life, this was a great feeling, starting to get some looks from girls that I had never gotten. And I went to the doctor, and I was telling him all about my interest in supplements and how excited I was. And I was expecting that he was going to say, those are stupid, you should only use pharmaceuticals, and, you know, the whole doctor thing, right? But instead, and this is over 20 years ago, this is a long time ago, and he looked at me and he drew out this lifeline from 20 to 80, and he said, why not be happy between here and here? And I was a guy in business school that was doing very well. I ended up graduating magna cum laude, and everyone told me to do business. Business is a smart thing. And in a lot of ways, obviously it is. You know, we're all a business, right? Like your podcast is a business, and it served me well. But my passion wasn't in what I was told to do. My passion was these supplements. And I was so fascinated by them. I would literally be in GNC for 4, 5, 6 hours. It was absurd. And then I was just like, I'm just getting a job here.
Yeah.
You know, because like, and when I was at the bookstore, I'd be reading these muscle mags and you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding encyclopedia and all these different books, trying to absorb as much as I could on nutrition, on supplements, on, you know, working out. And it was also fascinating to me. And so I decided I'm going to go back to school to get my master's in nutrition and biochemistry and be a formulator. I wanted to eventually become this world's greatest formulator. And it's so funny because that's like my title in the industry. And it's surreal. It's very surreal that I picked something so niche, you know, that's I don't know, maybe there's like 100 formulators out there. It's just real. It's crazy how all this happens. But I ended up having to get classes at UNCG, UNC Greensboro. My parents were down in North Carolina. So I moved down there and I needed to get about 2 years worth of prereqs to even get into my master's. A ton of science classes, organic chem, biochem, anatomy, physiology, all this stuff, multiple semesters of each with labs. And so I walk in to see this guidance counselor at UNCG and I tell him about everything I want to do. I've got this dream. I've been on fire for it. Mind you, like I went through the next 2 years at Babson, finished up. I took some chemistry classes there, but this is like me still on fire 2 years later. Like, this is my passion. This is my dream. I'm ready now. And he laughed at me and he said, "You're a business student. You will fail and you will fail miserably. This is 26 credit hours a semester of hard sciences with labs. Also, you're not even in good shape." And so I left there and I almost committed suicide that night. And I had alcohol and pills out. I was ready to take my life because this dream I had been working on had been taken away from me. For several years, I was clinging to this, thinking this is like my passion. This is my path. Like, the world is coming together for me. And it's amazing looking back how one man's words gave me my path and another man's words essentially could have taken it away, including my life. Mm-hmm. And so I think about the impact of my words a lot as a result of those two conversations. Like, that doctor, literally what he said made me who I am, like without a doubt. Like, I would not be here. I would not be, you know, atop my industry. I would not be an expert in this area. I would not have impacted all the people I've impacted, made all the products I've made, patented all the ingredients I've patented without him. His words, like, he went out of his way to say something that has nothing to do with his job to give me life advice and put it in perspective in a way I would never have thought of it. Mm-hmm. With this, you know, 20 to 80 kind of thing, like, why not be happy, you know? And then this other guy nonchalantly rips away my dreams and makes fun of me, who's in a position to supposedly help people. And I don't even know how many other people he destroyed their dreams of, or maybe even people that did kill themselves. I mean, you don't know.
Right.
That guy has so many people coming through his office and he doesn't care. And that's so sad. So two things out of all that is, love what you do or else you can really hurt people. And your words have incredible impact. And those are things that I've definitely taken into my career. Is that I need to be passionate about what I do and think about my words when I talk to people. And that's you know, that led to me becoming, I ended up not killing myself, obviously. I ended up getting so much resolve over it. I went the opposite direction in a way that wasn't quite healthy at the time, where I just said, fuck this guy. I hate you. I am going to prove you wrong with like a Michael Jordan type tenacity. You know, like every morning I woke up, I said, fuck you to that guy.
Yeah.
Every time my friend said, hey, we're going out to the bar, I said, nope. Every time they said, we're going to go party, nope. That guy. I thought about that guy every single day. And I ended up getting straight A's. I ended up getting into Chapel Hill. Again, not the healthiest thing, but it did get me through. Sometimes we just want to prove people wrong. And yeah, I got into my dream school, Chapel Hill, for nutrition, took biochemistry, also took exercise, sports science, like really kind of honed in on all my passions and with supplementation. And then I was like working on message boards and helping these companies out, like with their messaging, their marketing. Then I started doing some formulations for smaller companies. And at that time, like they just send me some products every month. Like I wasn't getting paid. People thought I was like, at that time, some big time formulator, because I was all over these message boards. And I'm like, bro, Like I'm in a studio apartment and I'm barely getting by, you know, going through school. I'm not some big time formulator yet, but it was one of those things that I stuck to. And along the way, I was really pushing myself, like doing all the supplement stuff online, working at GNC, getting my master's, and just working 80, 100 hours a week on all this stuff. I was so passionate, pushing so hard, and getting lonely again. I think like I got in these ruts of harsh depression at times. Mm-hmm. As someone who's kind of I've always been like the wounded entrepreneur, like seeking love through achievement, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a rut I fall into very easily, I think, because of my childhood. And I was pushing so hard and felt so lonely and felt so driven and with so little self-love that I ended up getting Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, Hashimoto's. And I literally could not get out of bed. I was in pain and inflamed for about 6 months. And
this is after you've made the jump into the supplement industry full time.
My master's, like towards the back half of my master's. And again, I was thinking of committing suicide because I did all of this stuff. I sacrificed for all this, and then I'm going to be in bed for the rest of my life. And it made me question like my knowledge of health and like who I am as an expert. And am I just that wounded kid? Should I just give this up? Does no one like me? All this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I ended up stumbling into keto, and that was able to really transform my health, my body. I was able to get out of bed, not have the pain and inflammation. And this was about 20 years ago that I started doing keto. And that was a game changer for me. And then I started like shifting from hardcore sports nutrition, where I was adding to a lot of my body's stress by using ephedrine and caffeine and stimulants and, you know, oh yeah, this works. I can get more energy. I can do more. But, you know, it comes at a cost. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at immune health and, you know, different types of supplements for my well-being. And that was a good shift. And then from there, I ended up getting a job with Dymatize, a dream job, as director of R&D, doing all their formulations, helping them go to sale in 3 years for $425 million to post, like just redoing everything across the board, having a great team there helping me with R&D. But again, these guys were pushing 80, 100 hours a week because mm-hmm. they wanted to sell the company. They brought on a whole C team to sell the company. And that was like 7 in the morning, 11 o'clock at night. I was there and not necessarily doing all the healthy things I knew how to do. I just fell into this wounded entrepreneur often with this drive and push. And I ended up getting a brain tumor, pituitary tumor. And so that was the point where I really started saying, like, okay, like I need to do keto in a way that works for me, like cyclical and targeted, so I can stick to it. Mm-hmm. I need to do whole foods with paleo. I need to work with an allergist and look at my blood work. I need to biohack myself with devices and improve my stress bucket, right? But also, you know, look at how I'm de-stressing, how I'm tapping into parasympathetic. And am I taking enough time to do those things? And that was a big shift. And then last year, I'm getting to the end of my story. Last year, right before COVID, I did my first plant medicine journey, New Year's. And mm-hmm. that was a massive, that's where the heart shifted for me massively. I went into this space with about 20 people at a mastermind. I didn't know hardly any of them. And I thought, I don't know these people. I'm scared. I've never done plant medicine. It was psilocybin at the time. And I was thinking, no one knows me. What are they going to think about me? You know, I'm so used to going into rooms and trying to like level up you know, at these masterminds, and how can I get to the next level? And,
right,
you know, what are the right things to say? Who is this guy? What does he do? Maybe if I say this, this, and this, you know, I can level up. Maybe like we can do a podcast together. Maybe I can get on TV. Maybe I can get, you know, all the things. It's not necessarily nefarious, but you know, you're pushing.
You want to be the best that you can in your field. So you're going to look at those rungs that can help you get there.
Exactly. So, but instead, like this stuff broke me down in a way that I'm looking around and people, like I was in a cuddle puddle, like laying on the floor with like just these people, just cuddling people, and people were being loving to me, not knowing me,
mm-hmm.
not knowing, oh, he's a formulator, he's a biochemist, he's this, he's that. Nope. They were just like, you know what? He's nice. I want to like lay next to him and talk to him. And for me, that was a massive shift that people could just love me for me. And I didn't have to push and earn their love through achievement. I could just be loving and they could be loving back. And I also realized that my life was not on rails. I had this epiphany that like everything that I've done, like I need to keep going to the next level along this rail. How do I get to another credential, another podcast, another better TV show, another documentary, another thing? How do I get my book out? How do I, it's all like on rails. And then I was like, no, I can do like something completely else. I was like, I could just stop what I'm doing right now and go to the Himalayas and walk around like for the next 2 years. And if I want to, like whatever lights up my soul, yeah. I should go do. And so those couple of things like started my path for like this plant medicine journey where I started to learn to love myself. And that was all the biohacking, all the supplements that I was doing, I feel like prior were ways to push my performance so I could get more out of myself mm-hmm. and I could keep moving, you know, hustle and grind. And I learned that grind is bullshit and Gary Vee is bullshit.
You are not the first person I've heard say that.
That is it's what they call like the wounded puma like energy. It's like, it's not a good energy to stay in. When your head's down, you're not thriving. I'll tell you this, like the whole manifestation thing that they talk about, some people might think that's woo, but here's the thing. If your head's up, if you're thriving, you're in the right place, right time, all the time, all the time. The right place, right time is happening around you all the time. You're just heads down. You're just surviving. You're not noticing it. So when you're noticing it, when you're seeing it, when you're thriving and you're hearing those people, when you're empathetically connecting, when you're in a positive heart space, when you're lit up, when you're energetic, people sense that, feel that. You sense them, you connect with them, and you have these amazing experiences and things come into your life that are energetically aligned to what you're looking for. And you don't have to claw and scrape and push and level up all the time. It just comes to you. And that's why that whole hustle and grind, like when you're grinding, you're breaking down. There's heat coming off. There's pieces flying off. It's hustle and flow. Like, yes, you have to, you know, be in a sympathetic nervous system state at times mm-hmm. and hustle. But you want to get to the flow state and get in that Zen mode, like where everything makes sense, where like your gifts and your beauty and your skills are being harnessed and seen and witnessed. Like that's where you want to be. So that's where I've gotten to. And thank you for letting me tell my story. So it's kind of like chronological path of where I've come. And I feel so blessed that I'm still growing and I'm learning this. And I'm blessed that I went through everything I went through. I'm blessed that I was obese. I didn't even tell you like about being anorexic and orthorexic. I went from 300 pounds to 150 pounds wow. to where I was weighing myself every time I peed to see if I was less, to 220 pounds ripped. You know, I was orthorexic. I was working out 4 hours a day and I was worried about catabolic and, you know, I need to get my protein and all this stuff. And at no point was I happy with myself or happy with my body. So like I run the gamut, but I'm just blessed to where I am now because I bring all that to the table and I have the empathy I have and I can connect with people and I can understand their struggle And like, that's why I like, even this year, like this past year, I like rewrote my book three times, but I'm coming out with an April energy formula, because I was shifting so much in my heart about like who I am, what I am, and how I want to connect with people. Like the science was always there, but I wanted to add like the deep connection, my love for you and everything in the book. So it just kept evolving. I even recorded the book in LA and then I was like, I'm going to rewrite it. Wow. And so I'm going to re-record it. But that's how much shifting I've been going through. But I'm thankful for all of it. Like, it's like, I wouldn't change any of it because like the obstacle is the way, you know, like it's that hormetic stress that's allowed me to evolve and change. And I'm so glad that I had my hero's journey and I still am on it. So that's my story.
No, that's an incredibly powerful story. And that's one thing I love about our industry is that everybody, like you can't go to college or university and say, I want to get a degree in supplements. It doesn't exist at this stage of the game. Maybe one day it will, but it's like, I come from an engineering background. People come from sports backgrounds. People come from all these different, you know, disparate entities and enterprises. And we all come and we come in this crazy universe that is the supplement industry. And that story is one for the books, man. It's incredible to where the road you've traveled to where you are now. Did you have a strong family connection? Did you have like a loving significant other? Like when you were on the brink, how did you walk yourself back aside from just giving the big middle finger to that guy that, you know, told you you would never amount to anything? Were you strong in your faith or anything like that? Like how did you just, or was it all intrinsic? You just said, hey, fuck that guy. I'm going after this and I know I can be successful.
I really don't feel like I had a whole lot of anything. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a whole lot of friends, a whole lot of family, I love my family, but like no one was really that close. And maybe some of that is me, you know, like honestly, like I was in a place where I could not receive help. And at times some of my family members were not in a place to give help. Mm-hmm. There's no like anger or frustration at that. It's just, you know, it's where we are. It's just like someone could have told me, oh, you have a beautiful body, and I would be like, yeah, okay, I would not receive that, you know. Yeah. No matter what body type I had, like even if they liked, you know, heavier set guys, or they liked skinny guys, or they liked a guy that had a six pack, like I would just say, yeah, sure, and not receive that. So I wasn't in that place. And friends, I had a couple, but again, like it just, I don't know that I received advice, like life advice. Like a lot of what was driving me was just pure anger, insecurity, sadness. Like I would go from bouts of like depression and not wanting to do anything and staying in my room for days to, you know, working out super hard, to studying super hard, to pushing and pushing and pushing and put, you know, it just, it was those kinds of extremes. And I was just so unhealthy. But at the same time, I'm proud of I don't feel shame about any of that. Like it served me.
Yeah.
You know, like it's my awareness now is wonderful, and where I've grown to is wonderful. But at the same time, all of that served me. If I wasn't that competitive, if I didn't have that much drive, if I didn't have that much pain, one, I wouldn't connect with people like I do, but two, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in. It's because of that competitive drive and push that I've accomplished all the things I've accomplished that now give me a platform. Mm-hmm. So I don't regret any of it. I'm actually happy looking back at who I've been and who I was. Now I'm just focusing on how can I make the most of where I am and how can I get those friends? How can I be, you know, more connected to my family or create my own family, my own soul fam, if you will, which I've done over the past year, especially in that plant medicine space where you gain. One thing that's cool too about this plant medicine space is that you can be seen in a very vulnerable way by people. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's, you know, intimacy you might think of as like, you know, sexual partners or whatever. But I think about intimacy as being seen and seeing someone in a vulnerable way and sharing that. That's powerful. Like when you can really cry in front of someone, when you can really bare your soul and talk about all your pain and your what you perceive as weaknesses and just let it out and people see you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing. And it's such an accepting environment where, you know, I've seen, you know, people come out as trans, as gay or whatever, where people talk about the pain of racism, where people talk about, you know, abuse or rape or, you know, and it's like when you start sharing that stuff, I mean, it's hard to like have like, hey, how's the weather? Did you see that game yesterday? Yeah, the Broncos are killing it. You know,
yeah.
You realize like how a lot of your relationships are much more at a superficial level.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken some of my superficial level relationships and injected some deep into it and tested people now that I've seen what deep can do.
Yeah.
So that's been helpful for me.
That's what I've heard. I've never done a psilocybin journey or any of the plant medicine, you know, quests, but I've heard that went from the various podcasts I've listened to or other people I've spoken to, there's something about it that it detaches you from your ego, like any kind of anxiety you're feeling, stress or, you know, insecurities you're feeling. It going on one of those journeys, like, erases it entirely to where you are just like this in this chill zen kind of flow state that you were talking about.
That's exactly.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So it really, like, depending on how deep you go with it. And of mm-hmm. course, before you do it, you need good facilitators. Otherwise, it can just be a recreational drug. Like MDMA, psilocybin, ketamine, some of these things are tools with a facilitator. And you need the right set and setting. You need mm-hmm. to be in the right mindset where you're open to it. Remember, I was talking about maybe I wasn't in the right mindset to connect with my family and friends in the right way.
Right.
This is that, like, where you need the right mindset going into where you're open to where you can lean into it. Mm-hmm. With these plant medicines, you can lean out and they have very little effect unless they go to some extreme dose and literally overpower you. But you can, like, just, I'm resistant. And you cannot get the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lean into it. To do that, you need good facilitators and you need the setting. And a setting needs to be a safe, loving container that the facilitators have curated. And they walk you through and you feel safe with all the people that are sharing this experience with you. You work on setting intentions before you do it and mm-hmm. say, like, this is what that's been on my heart. This is what I'm going to try and get out of this specific journey. And then afterwards, you have integration with the facilitators where they tell you, like, okay, like, here's what you can do with that now. Like, here's how you apply that learning to your life, which is the most important part. Otherwise, it's just entertainment. Right. You need, like, the integration part to actually make changes in your life, in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, like, having really good facilitators, having the right set and setting is super important. But it breaks down the ego. And some people even call it ego death at the right level. And we build up these constructs throughout our life around our ego to protect ourselves. It helps mm-hmm. us survive. It helps us survive traumas. It serves a purpose, but it stunts growth. It stunts honesty. And so if we can use these plant medicines as teachers, then we can get to a place where we can grow, where we can move past those traumas and see them in a new light, have new perspective, and forgive people, forgive yourself, love people, love yourself, and move past it. And that's where you literally can repattern, rewire your brain through these substances, and that's what can be powerful. But again, it needs to be done in the right situation, in the right way.
Mm-hmm. With these journeys and the aftermath, since you achieved this Zen detached self where you're not as anxious, maybe as self-conscious or, you know, second guessing everything, do you find that negatively impacts maybe your desire to not work hard, but your desire to, you know, progress as far as, or be as tenacious as you are in business, or, you know, do you, Are you at it's such a relaxed and chill place that you're just kind of saying, eh, I don't really need to work today. I don't really need to go and explore for new ingredients to kind of push the envelope in your field. Do you ever get that sensation, or is that not even a thought in your brain?
I do. And it's been wonderful, actually. It's been a game changer for me as someone who's been relentlessly driven and hard on myself, and often feeling like even when I've been working for myself at a high level and very successful, mm-hmm. I still would feel this feeling like I'm late, or they're watching me. I'm not getting enough work done. Who's watching me? Like, what is this feeling you're feeling? Yeah. And you start examining all this stuff, the fears that you have. And instead of coming from a place of fear and scarcity that's driving you, you're coming from a place of abundance. And you're like, my body doesn't feel well today. I'm going to take the time to make my body feel better. And when I do, I'll do much better work. I can work in bursts. Now, obviously you have certain commitments, but I can work, maybe I'll work 12 hours one day, but then I'll work no hours for 2 days. Like whatever it is, like whatever works for me, yeah. to actually be productive, to be happy, to be well. And I've been more productive than ever with a lot less time. Mm-hmm. And it's again, because I've been moving to that place of abundance, because I've been moving into those flow states. When you're in a flow state, 1 hour of kind of creative Zen-minded perfection, like you can achieve so much. You can come up with all these new ideas, and I should network with this person. What if I come up with this podcast idea? And like, what about these ingredients? And it all comes in 30 minutes, in an hour. And if I'm pushing for my 12-hour day, then I might get nothing out of that extra hour. You know, like, are you really that productive? So it's something like that now I'm mindful of, and I've re-examined all my constructs, all my agreements that I've made through my life. Like, I love the four agreements.
Yeah.
That you make these agreements, or like Byron Katie talks about how you project these stories and you believe them to be true and you built a whole life around them. If you re-examine these things, like, do you know that to be true? Is that agreement actually that you've made in the past a fact? Typically, no. It's like, it's the story you've created around something, and it's a one-sided story. Mm-hmm. And so going back to re-examine all that stuff and actually seeing what serves you and what doesn't is perfect. And I found one of the most important aspects of self-love that I've discovered in 2020, which is the greatest year of my life. I hate when people say, oh, it was a shit show. For me, it was a game changer.
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to travel 300 days in 2020 because I was pushing, wow. pushing more. Right. And it got so bad that if I had any opening in my schedule, I'm just like, yes, if there's an opening, put it in. I didn't even evaluate what its worth was to me. Mm-hmm. I just assumed something is going to level me up, and I'd have FOMO about anything that I wasn't doing.
Yeah.
That's just a bad place to be. So re-examining, you know, all these stories and taking that time in 2020 to go back and do plant medicine journeys, to work with therapists. Like, I worked with this lady, Catherine Dixon, in Utah, that does Byron Katie style work. I got mentors around me. I started reading these books, like the Four Agreements again. And again, like, I could have read that book 10 years ago, like I did, and it had some impact. But when I'm in a very different place, it has a very different impact. Because again, I'm ready for this message. And so, and all of that really changed my path moving forward. And I'm so thankful for 2020. And getting back to like the most important aspect, or one of the most important aspects of self-love, is creating boundaries. Mm-hmm. That tells people, like, I am protective of my energy. I love me. And if I show up with full energy, I can help you. I can be at my best. So I don't want there to be any frustration or expectations that are built around things that I didn't communicate. And so I'm going to create boundaries because of my desire to love myself and to love you at my fullest. And I'm going to do that through boundaries. And I think a lot of people are scared to set boundaries, and saying no to things is one of the most powerful things you can do in your life.
Yeah. And personally, I mean, I can attest to that. I constantly feel like I'm in a rat race with myself. Like I have a very hard time saying no. So I'll get anyone. Can you work on this article for us? Hey, do you want to consult on this project? And I'm like, I never want to say no, because there's always in the back of my mind saying, hey, well, if I turn this one down, maybe they won't come back to me, or somebody else, or they'll talk to somebody else and I won't get this. So I'm always kind of, you know, I've got to do more. I've got to go get more clients. I've got to do this. And it just, it's exhausting. And then, you know, it's talking from that scarcity mindset. You know, my wife will always, and she always references the movie, or a documentary, I guess, called The Secret. And it's not the new movie that just came out, but it's an older documentary that's on Netflix, and it's built off a book. And it's, you know, the power of positive thinking, kind of what you're talking about. You know, you're attracting the good things for you, where if you have the scarcity mindset, all the negative stuff is going to keep compounding on you. And so just, you got to flip your mindset. And I find that I go in ways where work will feel effortless at times, and I'm coasting through. And then other times, man, I'm just wondering, do I really have to do this again? Or I can't write another article about citrulline versus citrulline malate or something like that. It's like, what am I doing with my life? I'm tired of writing, and it just, you know, I don't know if I've ever explained, you know, talked on some of this about the podcast, but it can be exhausting. Then the mental gymnastics that you put yourself through in the rat race to try and be successful in the industry, I guess, in any industry in life, it can be exhausting at times.
100%. And like, to my point before, is I'm allowing myself the grace to talk about the things I want to talk about or chase the things that light me up, even though I'm known as a keto guy or a supplement guy. I'm talking a lot about mental health and well-being and suicide and depression and some things that are important to me. And I just, wherever the conversation goes, I take it. But that makes me lit up. That makes me excited. And then I'll show up as a better podcast guest. So whatever, you know, direction organically happens in our conversation, that's what I enjoy. And so, yeah, I encourage you that, like, think about energetically, you know, I was getting all these offers to be on all these scientific advisory boards for all these companies last year, especially as these companies were growing, they were looking to add, you know, supplements took off in 2020.
Right. Absolutely.
The rest of the world didn't. So I'm blessed for that. But I was getting all these offers and people are talking about equity. And I'm like, oh my God, like, these companies are blowing up. I could get equity. This could be the next big thing. And I was getting involved with companies that didn't sync up with me. The energy felt wrong. Every time I was in a meeting, I was like, they're not valuing me. Like, yeah, I could get money out of this, but how is this serving me? Like, I feel more drained, more miserable every day.
Yeah.
Is this what I really want? And I started thinking about it. I'm like, no, I'm only going to accept the things that actually light me up. And that will be my boundaries. And I'm going to create that around me so I have the energy to show up as the best me. So I'm excited to get out of bed. And I would encourage everyone else to start thinking with that filter. Does this create energy for me? And move away from the zombies that have no opinion, and move away from the vampires that are draining you of energy. And you can go towards these people that are lighting you up, that feel exciting, that care about you, that offer you constructive criticism, wanting what's best for you. And, you know, create your five, like, that are so important, your tribe, that are going to lift you up and certainly serve them. I've created a group of, like, a mini mastermind with five ladies that I found in the plant medicine space that I saw changing quickly. And I was like, that's cool. They have positive energy. They're making radical change. They're driven, but they're passionate and compassionate. I'm like, I'm going to make a group. Yeah. And we literally check in every day on Signal with each other. Like, you know, how are you doing today? What are you up to? How can I help you? You know, 2-minute voice memo. And then we have a weekly Zoom call for about an hour and a half where we help each other, like, get better, network, you know, talk about that imposter syndrome that you're feeling. and all those things. And it's been so massive to mentor and be mentored. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you're mentoring, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
And so just getting in that environment has been super helpful for me. And again, I would encourage anyone else listening or even you to like, to create like that kind of inner circle group, whatever that looks like. And it's so incredible to feel supported and to support others. And it's just, it's been massive for my growth and transformation.
Do you find that maintaining this kind of lifestyle has helped you avoid burnout? As somebody that used to be grinding hard, like 80 plus hours a week, do you find that you don't really experience burnout much at all anymore?
Totally. Totally. It's made all the difference. And when you love what you do, you know, it's very different. It's a very different place to be in. Like they say, when you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. You know, like it's that kind of thing, like where most of the time I'm very excited to do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like work anymore. It doesn't feel like a grind. So, and then I am taking the time to realizing that when I get that massage or when I go take that walk or, you know, I do these kinds of things, that it's serving me, that I'm going to show up even better the next day. You know, it's like they talk about overtraining in exercise physiology, but a better term that's been discussed recently is under recovered.
Right.
And I like to think about it that way. Like, am I recovered enough? Like, am I taking the time to re-energize and rebuild?
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Let's transition to some ingredient talk. You've formulated some 500 products and you're behind 10 patented ingredients, one of which is my all-time favorite that I discuss, it seems like, on a weekly basis, Teacreen. I use probably 125 milligrams of it every day. Most often it's either paired with a pre-workout or a cup of coffee that I'm drinking or something. I've loved the ingredient since its inception. For the listeners out there that may not be familiar with the other ingredients that you've been behind, can you do a rundown of those?
Sure. Not only Teacreen, but also Dynamine, which is popular as well and often stacked with Teacreen. Dihydroberberine, which is an active form of berberine. It's about five times better in terms of bioavailability, doesn't have the GI distress, and it's in its active form. So, you know, berberine and metformin are great glucose disposal agents, anti-glycation agents. They help with nutrient partitioning. So, you know, creating lean mass and reducing fat mass. But really, it's just powerfully anti-aging. It's literally the number one ingredient I would suggest, because glycation and elevated blood glucose and insulin are associated with just faster biological aging and metabolic dysfunction. So, I mean, just like metformin has been known for years to be one of the best anti-aging tools we have, dihydroberberine, I feel like, is even better and more important. L-Baba is something that's exciting I've been working on, and that is an exercise mimetic. I don't know if you've read about like ACAR or GW501516. But some of these ingredients are exercise mimetics, mimicking the effects of intense exercise. Mm-hmm. And L-Baba is created from the branched chain amino acid pool, L-valine, from the muscle that's catabolized when you are working out intensely. And then it becomes a signal for PGC1 alpha, AMPK, and a bunch of pathways that are associated with exercise. And so it's almost like a holy grail. Like literally when L-Baba is elevated, you see increased BDNF in the brain, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is neuroplasticity. You see improved VO2 max. You see bone mineral density improve. You see improved lean body mass and reduced fat mass, improved brown adipose tissue activity. Like literally it's like, does it do everything? Yes. Like if it's associated with exercise, it does. So I like to think about it, and the FDA would agree with me, is that, you know, you always recommend with healthy diet and exercise and supplements. And I believe that to be right as well. I don't like the idea of like the just sitting on your couch and I take this and it's like exercise in a bottle. I think of it as an augmenter to exercise, enhancing, amplifying the effects of exercise. So getting more out of every rep, every step.
Right.
So that's a great ingredient to look at. Let's see some of the other ingredients. I'm thinking there's several. Oh, RBHB. So the exogenous ketones. We have a patent on the active isomer as well. It's about 2 to 3 times more active in the body than the mixed isomer, like the DL. So BHB, like this allows you to create that beta hydroxybutyrate signal and a fuel source at a much lower dose and without as much of the mineral salt load that you get with exogenous ketones. Mm-hmm. So that means less of the magnesium, which can create GI distress, less of the sodium, which some people are sodium sensitive, less potassium, whatever. So you're reducing that mineral load on your body, which is nice. There's so many like good ingredients. I'm trying to think about all of them. There's several coming out that I really want to talk about, but it's hard for me to almost hold back. I do have one on muscle protein synthesis that's coming out soon that I think is going to be really, really exciting. That several companies are pretty excited about as well, that I think will be on the market this year. Doing some work in fatty acids, that's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of stuff coming, but we can talk about a number of ingredients that in whatever area you want, and I'll tell you what's best and what doses.
Yeah. Let's start at the top with teacrine and dynamine. Now I've talked with Dr. Lopez, who is one of your partners in crime on those two ingredients over the years when they first started gaining popularity. What I wanted to ask you is, this is more of a personal thing that I've noticed. Like, caffeine and teacrine work phenomenally for me, and I've used the combination of dynamine and caffeine, and that's been kind of hit or miss. Sometimes it works really well, sometimes it's kind of, it doesn't feel any different than the regular caffeine. When I take all three of them together, it almost makes me tired, or I get like this depressive state where you don't really want to do anything. Have you heard of that happening, or like, is there any mechanism by which you can think that putting all three of these together? Because I know some people say, hey, all three of them, it's you've got this powerful trifecta for energy, mood, and focus. But for me, it seems I can only have two of the three, and all three of them together just leaves me really, really flat feeling for some reason.
I think you have to find like what your ratio is of those total methyl xanthines. Like, mm-hmm. there's a synergy between them, and there's also varied half-lives between them, where dynamine is probably the fastest, followed by caffeine, and then followed by theacrine. And so you have to look at that total load. And for you, I would say, you know, maybe the dynamine and caffeine, which are more in the faster acting end, need to be lowered a bit, and then, you know, have the theacrine come in. And you just have to, there's bioindividuality, there's you know, fast and slow metabolizers with caffeine. So all of that can play in. Another factor that we've found is that, you know, theanine smooths that whole thing out. And you might think theanine is subduing you, but it also like rounds out the stimulating effect on the central nervous system. So
right.
That in a fairly low dose, like I'd say 50 to 100 milligrams, could be ideal and not sedate you. Mm-hmm. Next up would be, and I feel like this is one of the most important factors, is taking a bioavailable blood-brain barrier passing form of choline, alpha GPC or CDP choline. It's at the basis, the foundation of any nootropic stack.
Right. Yeah. I love CDP choline. That's my preferred cholinergic. Yeah.
I'm more of an alpha GPC guy, but either one is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So taking those, you're going to be burning through in any nootropic stack. One, choline will help with the phospholipids of the brain. But two, it's going to help, and probably more importantly, acutely, it's going to help with acetylcholine. And so also taking potentially an acetyl donor like Alcar, acetyl L-carnitine, could be good in this stack as well. So getting the acetylation, getting the choline source that's going to help with acetylcholine. And when you're in this focused, stimulated state, you're burning through acetylcholine very quickly. And so you can get to a state where you're, especially if you're used to using these things every day, where you're using too much of it potentially. Mm-hmm. Another thing that could stack well here is, and again, only use this on occasion. You don't want to consistently use an acetylcholine esterase inhibitor, but huperzine A would stack very well in maybe like a pre-workout situation where you're working out 3-4 days a week. Then you can use that as long as it's not every day all the time. So those would be some things that I think would synergize and enhance the effect of that trifecta of methylxanthines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something. I'm glad you touched on the huperzine thing. I mean, there's so many companies are throwing that into sleep formulas, pre-workouts, post-workouts, nootropics, and the thing's got between a 16 and a 20-hour half-life, and that's why I tell people, I'm like, you've got to be really careful with that, because you get too much of that in your system, it's going to build up over the days, and you're going to end up with either like a massive headache or this, you know, insane brain fog where you're not going to feel like doing anything or you can't concentrate to save your life. So it's something I'm very careful with, and I don't typically recommend that to people. Like you said, use it sparingly a couple times a week and not massive doses, like 300-500 micrograms at a time, like I'm seeing some nootropics use these days.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
With Baba, that's one of the newer ingredients on there, and people will find it under the trademark name Mitoburn.
Yeah.
What can you tell us from the research standpoint? So it's a compound that's endogenously produced within the body. What are we seeing on the research front of, you know, what kind of benefits can we see as applying it to exercise, recovery, performance, any kind of improvements in performance, lean mass gains, reduced fat mass, things like that?
Yeah, it's that's a great question. Is I believe what you're alluding to is it occurs endogenously, but how do we know if you're taking it exogenously as a supplement that you're going to see the benefit? And that's a wonderful question. That's literally what we're getting the data on right now. We have about 3 studies underway. We're just about to get our GRAS and toxicology data back, generally recognized as safe, where we look at it over a period of 6 months and get that data, the extreme safety data. But this is just an amino acid, and it's extremely safe. And again, occurs naturally in the body. And we've done preliminary safety work, but we're going the extra step so that it can be used in food and beverage. But then also we are getting first absorption data, like where we can see that plasma levels are affected, so that when you take it supplementally, that you are seeing plasma levels increase. Mm-hmm. There is no human data yet, but that's been shown repeatedly in animal models that when you administer exogenously Baba, that plasma levels rise. And there's about 8 companies or so that are already using it on the market, and the feedback has been amazing. I'm actually running a man sports product right now, PRXT, I believe it's called, and that's been phenomenal. Like, I'm literally seeing effects very similar to something like ACAR or Cartarine, which is also called GW50156, which is peptide. And it's just been tremendous. But we are getting data with both endurance and strength training environments with participants, and we'll have that data June, July, August, September in there for those studies. So that's something that we're looking forward to, and we're going to see all the impact that it's having in those environments. But again, if you look at the animal data, it's pretty incredible. And it's not just, and people like might quickly discard animal data, but I this data is very compelling. But also what we see when we look at human data with elevated endogenous levels is what is also compelling with this. And this is one of those cases where this is a signal in the body. It's the signal for intense exercise. So we already are expecting quite a bit just going into this new data. It's not like you know, this is a shot in the dark, because there is, like, if you look at the diagrams of like all the pathways that beta is affecting as a signal, it's extremely compelling. And then when you look at the animal data, it reinforces that. So we're expecting quite a bit with the human data. So that's where we're at. And we're gathering all that data now.
Now with that, y'all are recommending a dose somewhere between 500 to 750 milligrams, 1 to 2 times per day. How did y'all arrive at that number? Is that an extrapolation of the animal doses that y'all have come with?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And typically they're not using, in the animal data, they weren't using the active isomer. They were using mixed isomer. Okay. But we're actually just extrapolating the animal dose with what would be mixed isomer at that full human level, using like body surface area calculations, human equivalent dosing. Mm-hmm. So if anything, we're probably twice as effective, sometimes three times as effective when you're looking at using an active isomer. So we'll see. We're going to see how that all looks. We're going to look directly at plasma beta levels when we administer D, when we administer L, and when we administer DL beta. So that's actually forthcoming in the data. We're going to really drill down into isomeric impact and all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. With the research, now a common complaint, now I want to see, are y'all running these tests in-house, or did y'all just send the ingredients off to university labs and they're running them themselves? You know, a lot of the times we get kickback when researchers publish and says, oh, well, Ingredient House put this out. We can't trust it because it's industry funded. And, you know, it's not like the NIH, the FDA, the local governments are giving us money to run these supplement studies. So the funding has to come from somewhere. The ingredients need to come from somewhere. So, you know, speaking from the company side, the Ingredient House side, walk the listeners through what role y'all play in these studies and getting these studies up and running. Are you just donating funding to the labs for them to do it? Are you donating the raw materials, or are you have people that are writing up the studies or the exercise protocols? You know, walk us through a little bit through that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you talked about my partners on T-Crine and Dynamine, Dr. Hector Lopez and Dr. Tim Ziegenfuss. They're both brilliant at study design, and we have close to 20 studies on all this stuff. And then with some of these new projects I've been working on, I've been working with Dr. Ralph Yeager and Dr. Martin Purpura, and they're both amazing as well, very well known in sports medicine research and working with HMB, PKTP, alpha-GPC, all these kinds of compounds, designing the studies for these companies, doing reviews, like exhaustive reviews I've done with them on protein, on probiotics, like position stands. Like, these guys are really as good as it gets. They're both German organic chemists, brilliant guys, and they help me design these studies. And my partner in China, with NNB, has a 400,000 square foot facility that's GMP, over 100 scientists working with him, and we can create just about any ingredient you can think of. And that's actually one of the parts of the business that we do. It's called ingredientology. You come to us with the idea and we can make it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can work on intellectual property together. And my partner, Kai Lin, will fund these ideas. And yes, he has animal research that's going on in-house, but we're also funding research through universities and CROs in America to get this research done. And yes, it's expensive. Like, with each ingredient, we're spending more than $500,000 before it even gets to market, probably. And it takes probably 2 or 3 years to walk it through this path of getting animal studies, human studies, grass and toxicology, applying for patents, mm-hmm. and working with a patent attorney, getting all that filed, sometimes internationally. All those steps, you know, that takes a lot of money and time. So that's a huge part of this. And we're certainly funding the data, and we have a number of ingredients in motion. So that's what's going on.
Excellent. You mentioned that Alpha GPC is your preferred form of choline. Is there a reason you tend to prefer that one over CDP choline? Obviously, I'm not gonna put choline bitartrate in there because it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. It's not as bioavailable. So what makes you lean more towards the Alpha GPC side of things?
There's a study where they looked at head-to-head, and I think it performed about 17% better on some outcomes. Again, like a lot of people in nootropic stacks actually blend the two. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm a big fan of Alpha GPC is that you can get it in a branded form and the quality is assured as well. Like with Alpha Size is the branded one.
Yep.
So I like that. I like that, you know, that the purity and the quality is assured. I'm a big fan of, you know, quality branded ingredients, and they're actually owned by a German pharmaceutical company that really takes that extra step. And then the last reason I like Alpha GPC more as a formulator, it's actually kind of sweet tasting instead of bitter. Mm-hmm. And so it's much easier to formulate and ready to mix applications than the CDP. So it's just a few things, like, but overall, like they're both excellent.
How large of a dose of Alpha GPC are you taking? Do you take the same dose each day, or do you kind of titrate it up and down, or you know, undulate it throughout the week?
I take 300 milligrams twice a day, and sometimes if I'm using like heavy nootropic kind of stuff, like I'll even go up to 600. And there is some data with exercise that they've shown like enhanced growth hormone, et cetera, like sleep, like with the 600 milligrams three times a day. I don't think you need to dose that heavy, and it gets quite expensive doing that. But I think at least 300 milligrams twice a day is a good place to start, and then kind of, you know, tweak based on your, you know, focus, your workouts, like what you feel like you need.
Is that 300, is that the yield of Alpha GPC, or is that 300 milligrams in the Alpha Size form to where you're only getting 150 of it?
No, the yield, yeah.
Okay, so you'd be taking a total yield of 600 milligrams of Alpha GPC, so 1,200 of the Alpha Size each day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, okay. All right, because that's one thing I had a question on the other day. It's like, what's the difference in potency or effectiveness between when a label says Alpha GP 99%, Alpha GP 50%? I said, well, there's not really a difference in effectiveness, provided you're getting the same yield of Alpha GPC. The problem is they can be labeled so many different ways, right? Or not. There should be a proper way it's labeled on the supplement facts panels. It's just companies don't always do that. So, you know, you kind of either have to trust the place that you're going with. You can send them an email, or, you know, depending on the way they're labeling it, there's a lot of wiggle room or room for interpretation depending on how they're labeled on the ingredient panels at times, which can make it all the more confusing for consumers.
That's a great point. And I focus on companies that try and do transparent labeling, that don't do those kind of practices, like, you know, companies like Thorne or Pure Encapsulations or, you know, Metagenics or some of these kind of higher end brands I'm a big fan of and I look to. But yes, I think you can absolutely run into that, especially in sports nutrition, where there's some great brands, but there's also some very shady brands. So.
Absolutely. What else do you do? Like, let's dive into, before we get into more of the formulation stuff, let's discuss your daily supplement stack, if you have one, or do you kind of, does it vary? So, you know, somebody that is ingrained in supplements and formulation as you are, what are you using on a daily basis, or I guess on a weekly basis, if you're not using the exact same stack each day?
My goodness. I do try and alternate things quite a bit. I like that idea of understanding hormesis and homeostasis, that it's better to kind of cycle through things than use it consistently, because you can run into those situations. Just like if you were using exogenous testosterone, your body stops producing as much endogenously,
right?
And you can get like testicular atrophy and, you know, all those kinds of things because your body stops making it, and it becomes dependent on this exogenous source. You know, it's saying, okay, we don't need to make as much anymore. You got it.
Right.
And even when it's not like a substrate or something that your body's using directly, and it is just an herb, like the way it's impacting the body, I think it makes sense to cycle through things. Like, for example, like I love the adaptogens, but they are normalizing you, and it's this outside force normalizing you. So I like to cycle through my adaptogens, where I might use ashwagandha, then I might use the next month rhodiola, and then the next month I might use nothing, and then keep cycling. And so I love, like, when I run out of a supplement, to sometimes not use it for a little bit and then get it again. And so I try not to use like anything too chronically, even including multivitamins. You know, I just, sometimes I like double up, and sometimes I use it single dosed, and sometimes I don't use it. And I just kind of, I know that doesn't sound super scientific, but I love the idea of just cycling through things and just, you know, kind of going by feel a little bit. And I know I'm supposed to tell you, like, you know, use it every day, twice a day, you know, for the rest of your life. But for me, I like this idea of, you know, of kind of allowing for adaptation and agitation and hormesis and homeostasis and kind of this ebb and flow. But that's how I do it. And as far as the ingredients I take, I do like ashwagandha and rhodiola. I do take melatonin and magnesium, 5-HTP at night.
How large of a melatonin dose are you using? Because we get anywhere between like 0.3 to 10, it's all over the place.
Yeah. I've tried to actually lower the dose. I actually get kind of more of a brain fog, a haze, like when I take 3 milligrams or more. So I've been using more at like 1 to 1.5 milligrams. Mm-hmm. That's been kind of the effective one for me, where I've been getting a great night's sleep, but I don't feel that hangover. And that varies from person to person. So, you know, what works for me might not work for you. Let's see. I like, I've been using 5-HTP during the day, but a lower dose, along with Zembrin, which is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And I'm a huge fan of that. It doesn't affect me in the same way that when I took SSRIs that are pharmaceutical, I don't feel overstimulated. I don't feel, you know, negative impacts to my libido or my energy or anxiety or like all these things that happened with SSRIs, that it works at the beginning and then it like seems to be a negative impact. The Zembrin works really, really well for me. It's a mild effect, but it's a positive effect. So I enjoy that one. I've been microdosing psilocybin and LSD, microdosing psilocybin, I see. And again, these are things like with my with the psilocybin, it's like 80 to 100 milligrams 2 times a week. So it's not like mass, like this is like far sub-perceptual. Like you need at least 500 milligrams to, you know, really perceive something, and, you know, 1 gram to be kind of mild journey dose. Like normally it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 grams is your journey dose. So like this is way lower than that. It's been shown to enhance neuroplasticity. I feel more creativity when I microdose the psilocybin, and I feel this effect of like reduced anxiety, a very anxiolytic effect, where it's kind of like, you know, brushing the dirt off your shoulder, like Jay-Z, you know. It's like, I just feel like when someone like comes at me with some negative energy, I'm just like, yeah, okay. It's a really cool effect on my mood that I've really liked. And with microdosed LSD, I feel like enhanced productivity. That's very similar in some ways to, I also have New Vigil that I use from time to time, which is similar to ProVigil, modafinil. That enhances my productivity for sure. This is a slightly cleaner effect. And again, way sub-perceptual, very low dose, that I've found I truly enjoy. So those are some things that I also use. And like I said, I do use New Vigil from time to time. Let's see what else. I do use creatine and betaine quite a bit. not just for the bodybuilding and, you know, improved muscle mass retention and all those kinds of benefits that you can think of with power and strength, but also they're great methylators. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the data with creatine, like it enhances brain function, reproductive organs, eye health, bone health. Creatine is really amazing, like across the board for anti-aging. And I like these methylators because if you look at, there's several factors in aging where you're going to look at glycation, oxidation, inflammation, methylation issues. So methylation is one key area to focus on for anti-aging, and betaine and creatine are great methylators. So if you do like a DNA aging test where they look at methylation of DNA, like TrueAge, that would be a really good thing to be taking, where they're comparing biological age versus chronological age. So improved methylation is going to help your aging process and keep you younger biologically. So those are definitely things that I look at. And I like the active B vitamins along those lines as well. The methylcobalamin and 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. A lot of people have MTHFR gene issues where they have issues converting that folate to methylfolate, the active form. So that's something that I think about a third of the population could really benefit from. I do take, when I'm feeling down immune-wise, which is certainly something to be cognizant of right now in what's going on in the world, and certainly with me that's had autoimmune issues, AHCC is a compound from mushrooms that I've found to be the single most effective thing for my immune system. I can bounce back from near death of like my immune system crashing with AHCC. It's expensive, but it freaking works. And I would just say like a bottle is maybe like a 4-week supply, and just use it for a week or two if your body's kind of crashing. Mm-hmm. And you know, that it's like 60, 70 bucks for a bottle. So just, you know, keep it on hand in case of emergency. Again, something I don't overuse. I want my immune system to be kind of hardened itself, more resilient. You know, you want to be harder to kill on your right. own accord. But also L-lysine is a cheap one if you can't afford AHCC that I've found to be very effective for my immune system. Upping your zinc, certainly vitamin C, we've seen the benefits of. I like the liposomal form or IV. And then vitamin D3, I do take a lot of 5 to 10,000. I use 10,000 probably in the winter when I'm not getting out in the sun as much, along with K2. About 50 to 100 micrograms a day in the MK7 form. Those are both amazing to take. I do take alpha GPC, as we talked about. I do play around with certain nootropics like NuPept.
I love that ingredient. That, and you also mentioned that rhodiola and zembrin or conaes, but those are all three. They're a regular rotation in my use.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, we're on the same page. Let's see what else I take. I literally have hundreds of supplements and cycle through things. And like I said, I kind of go by feel of like how I wake up that morning or what I'm trying to accomplish that day. I do enjoy, a non-stimulant pre-workout. Genius pre-workout is probably one of my favorites. That's a great brand.
Yeah. Their Genius Joy has gotten me through more than one, Christmas season with the in-laws.
Yeah. Like I like how he relies on using a lot of branded ingredients, that full transparency, full efficacious dosing. It's a really good brand. And I think they deserve a lot of support for the way that they carry on business. Like it's impressive. There's definitely a hit to margins.
Oh yeah.
On the way that they do things. And I feel like a company like that should be supported. And I'm trying to think of what else, but those are probably the most important things. I do take fish oil, a high DHA fish oil. You know, I've looked at my genetics and I have issues with PUFAs, omega-6s. I need to make sure that I lower my seed oils and PUFAs and improve my omega-3s. Mm-hmm. So those are things I do.
Do you have a preferred fish oil? I've got some that I recommend when people reach out to me, but do you have any preferred brands as well that you would recommend to listeners?
Yeah, Nordic Naturals, Carlson's, and Barleen's have all had really good test results in their companies that focus almost solely on oils.
Yeah.
So I like a company that's, there's good companies like Now and Thorn and all these companies, but I love a company that's like sole reason for being is the oils.
They just own it, yeah.
So they're just experts in that area. And so I'm a big fan of those three brands, Carlson's, Barleen's, and Nordic Naturals. But yeah, I could think of more, maybe as we go, but like I said, I do take Beva. I'm running that and pretty excited about that. I do use ketones sometimes if I need that extra energy or want to feel that drop in appetite. Like it's really good for like that afternoon kind of slump. And when you start craving like some candy or a soda or whatever it is, or some caffeine, like that BHB can kind of step in there and lower your appetite and give you a little energy.
I noticed a really cool thing. I get it from Neurofactor and from the BHB salts. Like you get this neural charging effect, like where it almost simulates the energy you would get from caffeine, but it almost seems like it's almost a little bit more intense for what, like just for me, it comes off that way, but it seems to run off a little bit faster than caffeine at the same time on certain occasions, not all the time, but it seems like it'll ramp me up real quick. And then it kind of tapers off a little bit more rapidly than caffeine might.
Yep. I love Neurofactor. And one of the things that you're talking about is I forgot this product and Polyphenomenal by Bulletproof is one of my favorite products. I talk about polyphenols all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them, most of the countries in the blue zones have a couple things in common. One, they move slower and they take time to de-stress, and they have, you know, that tribe that's so important with that deep connection and love, like we talked about earlier in the show. Right. And, you know, that's a blue zone thing. They'll take 3 or 4 hours to eat a dinner. You know, they'll literally slow down and talk with each other and enjoy the food. And food has a parasympathetic effect instead of, I believe, we're actually making food a sympathetic nervous system trigger psychosomatically because we're watching Game of Thrones, because we're weaving in and out of traffic, because we're stressed at work and getting something out of the vending machine.
Yep.
We're almost making food a sympathetic nervous system trigger. So it triggers cortisol and epinephrine and all these things.
Right.
So, but the other thing that you see with these blue zones is that they're often high in these polyphenols. You look at Mediterranean food, like the polyphenol present in olive oil or, cacao or red wine with trans resveratrol or blueberries with pterostilbene,
mm-hmm.
like you talked about coffee with chlorogenic acid or green tea with EGCG, all these compounds that are, you know, amazing, quercetin with apples and onions, apigenin that's present in parsley, all these things are caloric restriction mimetics, CR mimetics, that enhance sirtuin gene activation. So literally making you more resilient and making you more resistant to that biological aging. These compounds are incredible. So definitely eating more of them. And then I take a supplement with several of them. And that's something that I would recommend is looking for polyphenols. And, you know, antioxidants in general, like, have never panned out the way we thought in terms of benefit. And,
right.
and I think, there's a lot of reasons why that could be a whole other show where we explore that, but like polyphenols do. I think consistently we see polyphenols really enhance. I mean, you see improved, almost like the Beva thing I was talking about, you see improved blood flow, improved, resistance to aging, as I said, with sirtuin genes, with, decreased fat mass, improved muscle mass, improved cognition, you know, on and on and on. Like, these polyphenols are absolutely incredible, and they're literally mimicking, you know, things like working out, like fasting, like, you know, all these things that we know are enhancing our ability to age well.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at polyphenols is really important. That's something that I take very seriously. And things like quercetin, we see inhibit NADAs inhibit CD38, which allows for NAD to hang around longer. And if you look at NAD to NADH ratio, that's very important as we age because NAD gets used more, actually Correct. Helping us with that DNA methylation errors and some of those things. NAD is an important fuel as we age, and we have less, we make less of it, and then we metabolize it more rapidly. So if you can find ways to make more of it and inhibit its metabolism and have it hang around more, you'll live longer. And right. polyphenols can be a big part of that. Right. And along those lines, actually, quickly, is I forgot about this. I do take NMN.
I was going to ask with the which form of the NAD booster, I mean, because we've got nicotinamide riboside, we've got Niagen, we've got NMN, and so
and NR is head to head is just not as effective. It's one off in the pathway versus NMN. I think NMN is the better one to take. I think you can take NAD by IV, or you can do. And there's no data on this yet, but just anecdotally, I'm hearing a lot of people love it, is intranasal NAD. If you get, you know, one that's substantially dosed, and mm-hmm. that's going to vary greatly. So I can't recommend a brand yet. I'm working on it. I'm looking at it. But if you're going to take it orally, take NMN. And if you're going to do IV, NAD is wonderful. But oral NR or oral NAD, not so great.
Right. Backtracking a bit, you mentioned NuPEPT. Are you taking all the dose at once? Are you spacing it out during the day? How much are you using?
that's a great question. And I play with it all the time. And sometimes, you know, of all the things, like all these supplements, there's great bioindividuality, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, do what works for you. And I've looked at genetics with my doctor, Dr. Daniel Stickler, and I'm doing all this advanced epigenetic stuff and blood work. And, you know, we're doing transcranial electrostimulation and brain mapping. I'm using oxytocin and ketamine and all these things. Like,
awesome.
I mean, we're doing all this crazy stuff and DEXA scans, and it's amazing all that we're doing. But with nootropic stacks, I would say even more, the bioindividuality is 10x. Because your neurotransmitters, the way your brain works, is so different from everyone else that you cannot take someone else's stack. If you see like a nootropic stack that's pre-made, chances are it's not going to work for you. You need to like use one ingredient at a time and just slowly move up. And some of these you have, like with piracetam, you need to use like an attack dose at the beginning. And then, you know, there's a lot to it that you just can't take this dose and it works great for you on day one. It takes a lot of work to figure out a nootropic stack. And I feel like people that are more amateur with supplements are going to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. So you have to take time to really experiment. And yes, sometimes I'll do the 10 milligrams three times a day. And sometimes I'll use the 30 milligrams all at once. It's kind of like how I played with, let's say, like typically with NuVigil, I might take half a tablet and that's plenty for me. But if I know I'm going to be like traveling and jamming all day and need to be productive along with travel, along with like networking, along with all this stuff, that's like a heavy energy load.
Oh yeah.
Then I might take a full one. And you know, that's kind of how I look at this, like with NuPEPT, like, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe I'll take that full dose if a lot's expected of me. But I also know on the other side of that, I'm going to need to refuel, take time off, relax. Like it comes at a cost. Like you can't get nothing. So, you know, I use these things strategically, and that's how I'd encourage using it as well. But I probably start with the low dose and, you know, use 10 milligrams once, then use 10 milligrams twice a day at some point, and then, you know, play around with it before you just up the dose.
And then with ashwagandha, there's a bunch of different forms. So we've got KSM, Sensoral, Shodan. We've even got the nootropic position one, Nuganda. Do you have a preferred one, or do you kind of like to rotate between the various ones and mess around with the different with analog contents?
I've used them all. And at this point, my favorite in terms of the data and what's experiential to me is the higher dose of Sensoral.
Interesting.
So it's the 250 milligram dose. I like the data that's there. more than the other brands. But, you know, and they have a patent on the higher level of the active. So that's the one that for me, I enjoy. I don't know the last one that you mentioned. So, that's interesting. Maybe we can talk about that and I can try that one and take a look, but I've used KSM. I've used several. Mm-hmm. And for me, the Sensoril is the one I trust the most.
Good deal. And then in closing things off here, we're coming to the end of this. Somebody that's formulated as many products as you have, what are some overrated ingredients that we can maybe alert the listeners to that you just don't think maybe hold their weight, even though they might be positioned to be these game changers?
That is a great question. And I'm trying to think of what I think of along those lines. There's so many ingredients in sports nutrition that come out that don't have a lot of promise scientifically and are just, especially like when, honestly, the testosterone boosters almost across the board.
Yeah.
None of them that work. There's a little bit of thought process behind DAA, maybe increasing, LH and FSH and improving reproductive health. Like maybe like DAA would be good, almost like a Clomid type thing, like post-cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you're just someone that's just really low across the board and in androgens. But almost all those herbs, like the boron and, you know, the saw palmetto and
Bulgarian tribulus. I mean, that's the stuff,
like,
man.
Like all that stuff, like none of it pans out. None of it really like keeps testosterone elevated to any appreciable level, especially something that would equate to more muscle mass. Same with the GH boosters. I mean, there's almost nothing there that's legitimate. It's all transient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you really don't see that enhanced a benefit with all these amino acid cocktails that are GH boosters. I would say like some of the, in the SARM category, peptide category, you can see some GH boosters that would work, like MK677.
Mm-hmm.
I think that works. And certainly the SARMs like S4 and which is osterine and some of those can work well. Is it YK11, I believe? Like some of the peptides certainly can work well and have benefit. I would say that these peptides are dosed so high that they're not at their SARM level anymore, and they can actually shut you down just like anabolic steroids would.
Right.
So you have to be careful with the dosing and how you run those things. You know, certainly I would be aware of like where you're at health-wise, metabolically, cardiovascularly before using things like that. They're not just safe SARMs. I use peptides, but through my doctor, Dr. Daniel Stickler. So I actually have NAD in a patch that I've been using that's uses cool. Kind of an electrolysis kind of thing that's really cool. So let's see, but those are the biggest ones that come to mind that have never panned out. I mean, in supplements, the GH and test boosters, I think are just BS, but, those are the biggest ones. I don't know. What do you think? I'm trying to think of some others.
I mean, I go back to like the, like glutamine, regular L-carnitine. I would say that like, I like Alcar, I like LCLT. Those are great. Regular L-arginine or even arginine AKG, I'd go with nitrosigine over something like that or an arginine nitrate.
Agreed on all those. Yeah.
Beetroot's another one. Like the nitrate content is so low on beetroot. Like, sure, there's going to be some other fun polyphenols, as you were mentioning earlier, that are in there. But I think if you're going for strict nitrates, I think there's better sources to go through than just that.
That killed it right there. You're right. I've used all those things like chromium in the past and all these things, these next great fat burners, and a lot of them like the test boosters, you know, just come and go, like Garcinia,
mm-hmm.
things like, they really don't work.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I've seen? I don't know if this thing S7. So like it's that nitrate. So it's this blend of seven things. And I think the way it was just marketed or way certain supplement companies positioned it, that it's 250% increase in nitric oxide levels. It's going to be this massive pump ingredient. I'm thinking, You look at the one study that was done, it was 8 subjects. It wasn't really the best run study and all of that stuff. It's just, I think it could be a good support ingredient. I just putting that as like the headline ingredient on your pump product or your blood pressure support supplement or anything like that. That's just kind of one of those that I'm just, I think the way it was marketed may have been a little bit too aggressive for my tastes.
Yeah, agreed. And nitric oxide on top of that is highly variable with people and how they respond to it and how they can increase it and utilize it and break it down. And it's very different from person to person, but I agree. I haven't seen tremendous benefit from that one either.
Yeah. Some of the research that's been coming out on essential amino acids lately has been kind of intriguing. Like we've had the BCAA versus EAA wars that have been going on in the industry for what, 2.5-3 years now, it seems like. Yeah. I can't remember, like the time is flying. But there's some really interesting stuff when you're pairing an EAA like enriched suboptimal dose of whey protein. So if you have like a 6-gram dose of whey protein, but then you put in another 5 or 6 grams of essentials in on top of that, that's some pretty cool stuff that's going on. And I love all the medicinal mushrooms. Reishi, lion's mane is my absolute favorite. I take a couple of grams of that every day. And I've got my wife on reishi mushrooms. I give her a couple of grams of that because she's teaching all day every day. So that's a good little immune fortifier or modulator.
Yep, exactly. And that's where like that AHCC can be good as like kind of like a really potent version of those. But I use lion's mane as well. I love the BDNF impact that we were talking about, and the polyphenols can support that as well, like neurofactor that you talked about with the high chlorogenic acid. And yeah, exactly. Those are part of my stack too.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, Sean, thank you so much. I could spend like another 3 hours talking to you about stuff. We didn't even get into like the formulation wormhole. I think we might save that for the next time we have you on the podcast, if you're up for doing that. But because there's so many avenues we can approach with your methodology and your design approach to formulating supplements across, you know, general health, sports nutrition, sleep, all of that kind of stuff. So I think we'll save that for next time. But thank you so much for making time today. And this is the part where you can shamelessly plug anything and everything you want to, my friend.
Yeah, well, my book is coming out April 1st, and I do have in each chapter, it's called The Energy Formula. I do have a formulator's corner where I go through supplements, doses, forms, like even in way more depth than we did on the show today. I have like about 70 diagrams in there, full color on things like NAD and what it means to boost it. I have resource hacks in each chapter, a section where we go into all the devices, apps, and things that you can use to biohack yourself and increase your energy levels. I get into things that are more on the woo side, like your tribe and what it means to have those kind of positive blue zone type things in your life. But I get into, you know, exercise, nutrition, covering like keto, paleo, Mediterranean, vegan, carnivore, sleep hacks, like all kinds of stuff, exercise hacks, like high intensity interval training, but also like intraset stretching, blood flow restriction, all kinds of stuff. So it's a really amazing book. I'm super proud of it. Again, it comes out April 1st, but you can go to energyformula.com. You can get the pre-sale of it. It's only 99-cent ebook in the pre-sale. And you also get a fasting guide and you get a hidden chapter on natural movement. And then you can find me at seanwells.com. I have tons of free guides and information on all these different supplements and different diets. That's all cited. And then I'm on Instagram at Sean Wells. And then I've been doing Clubhouse lately. So you can find me on there talking about all kinds of things on Clubhouse. And I'm at Biohacking on Clubhouse. So I would love the support, and certainly I'm so excited about my book. I will send you a copy for sure, and would love the support there. So again, only 99 cents and you're getting 400 pages plus a fasting guide plus a hidden chapter. It's amazing. I will have a hardcover and I am recording the book as well coming soon. So a lot of stuff.
Outstanding. I was going to ask you if there was going to be a paperback or hardcover, because I'm old school. I love reading books on actual paper, not the digital readers. I spend enough time staring at my screen each day. If I could get away and actually read a physical book, that's more my speed.
Awesome.
Good deal. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sean. Have a fantastic week, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.